Shesterkin. It's a hat trick for Mika Zibanejad. Kako shoots. He scores. Kako, Kako.
Let's go Rangers. Let's go Rangers.
Welcome to another episode of Believe in Rangers, a New York Rangers podcast presented by Blue York on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, and today it's just going to be me and Cody. I got a lot of Rangers stuff to talk about. It's Hank Week, which is super exciting. We're both going to be there, actually. At least Cody will be there. I don't know if I will for sure yet, but Cody Franco, birthday weekend. You turned 29. What's going on, dude? How's the weekend?
Feeling old, one step away from 30, but weekend was good. Heard you had a good weekend, too, and you know, time to talk some Rangers hockey.
Yeah, so I guess we got to be honest off the bat. I didn't watch a single second of the Rangers games on Friday and Saturday, but you were texting. I woke up to like three texts, I feel like, from you about Kreider and you know, all this shit. And I'm like, dude, honestly, I didn't even watch. I'm sorry.
The guy is everywhere. I can't blame him. I mean, Kreider is just, he's just been unreal. A quick recap. You know, the Leafs game was, we started those first 5 minutes. I remember we were freaking out. Like, that wasn't good. Those two goals and then two penalties right off the bat could have kind of looked like it was about to be a football score game. Mm-hmm. Got real nervous there. And then they kind of just turned it all around. And Revo had two huge goals. The city definitely loves him. And I feel like he's really becoming a fan favorite, which is awesome. Love to see it. And, you know, they played really well against the Leafs. And finished strong there. And then against the Canes, I mean, we knew that ex-Rangers were going to have a field day on us, didn't we?
I mean, there was a lot of ex-Rangers playing in that game. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tony D was pretty much the lock for a goal. I knew that would happen. I think he had two assists as well. And then Jesper Foss, good old Quickie, I think he had a goal as well, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And obviously would have loved to win that game. I got to question some of Gallant's lineup changes there. I don't understand why he was messing with a good thing. Like when we win, I mean, I think he put Hunt on the second line and like swap things up. Obviously he started Georgiev, which, you know, some people, he was playing well, like before the Canes game, but obviously some people definitely questioned that as well. And because Igor was so hot, you wanted to kind of see our best goalie against their best goalie, but it is what it is. You know, of course we didn't win the game, but at least they showed fight there in the third. I think they dominated the third period. They looked like they were overpowering the Canes the entire third period, which was awesome. And then the Yotes game, I mean, Kreider is just, this guy's unreal. He's hat trick. I think we were talking about, he has five straight goals in five games. And
he's got eight goals, two assists in the last five games.
Oh my gosh. He's just an animal. He's lead league right now, 29 goals with Ovi. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's at a pace for 57 goals, which is insane. And I think that would be actually a Rangers franchise record too, which would be absolutely nuts. I mean, I'm not counting my eggs before they hatch there. I think it's more realistic that we shoot for 40 for Kreider. I think that would be an awesome milestone because, you know, we've seen throughout his career, he slows down here and there and is a very streaky type of player. But the guy is absolutely on fire, hasn't taken one step back this entire season, and he just works really, really hard, and you got to appreciate that.
Who was the record setter for most goals in the season? Is it Jágr? Was it Jágr that had like 57? I think he passed Graves that one year.
I think Jágr definitely had over 50. Uh-huh. I don't know who it was. I know Graves had it for a long time.
Yeah, I think Jágr broke it in like 06, 07.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah, it might be 06, 07, and he went absolutely nuts that season. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember how many he had, but I know if Kreider gets 57, that would be a new record, which is crazy to think about. I mean, if he keeps it up, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I mean, what's crazy about Kreider this year too is that he's getting so much puck luck. It's not like he's necessarily playing a different style of play, but dude, I watched the highlights, like I said, on Saturday night, and I think two of his goals like came off the stick of a Coyote. The puck just found him.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not doing anything differently, but he's finding a way to be even more of a net front presence than he has been in the past, and he's obviously one of the best net front presences in the game. But he's just finding such a good way this year to like continuously crash the net, continuously get tip-ins from, you know, defensive shots. And he's just playing his best game, and I'm definitely here for it right now. And it's funny because people were giving him so much slack, obviously, when we drafted Lafreniere, and they're like, oh my God, like, we could have traded Kreider, and now we signed him, and he's just shutting everybody up. And you gotta love to see that.
So I've been tweeting about it a little bit too, and I brought it up on the show before, but I really do think that this Friday, Henrik Lundqvist is going to give him a jersey with the C on it during the ceremony. I mean, dude, I was at Leach night when Brian Leach announced that Adam Graves was going to have his jersey retired, and that was such an incredible moment in the Garden. And I was only like 12 years old, but I just remember how, like, I got chills, like, just being there for that moment. And I feel like the Rangers kind of know that as Ranger fans, we're all waiting for a captain to be named. And I think, you know, Trouba has made a name for himself, but Kreider has really just like gone above and beyond to be the captain and has really earned it. And there's obviously a lot of people who think they should wait and give it to Foxy. But then again, Foxy's not even wearing an A right now, and he's still so young. And I think it'd be so cool if Lundqvist announced on Friday night that Kreider was the captain. Like, I think that'd be so sick.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say to that. I definitely agree. It would be an awesome moment. And we both know the fans would go absolutely bonkers. Mm-hmm. That would be the coolest thing ever to see it. I think Kreider definitely deserves it. I mean, the guy's playing his heart out. He's, as you said, Trouba is another guy who's been talked about a lot, and same with Zibanejad as well. But I think Kreider out of those three is the one who earned it the most per se. And obviously he's the most tenured. Mm-hmm. I do think though, that I am one of those people who think it will be Fox. The reason I say that. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because, one, I feel like if it was going to be Kreider, they would have just done it at the beginning of the season. Like, the Zibanejad extension shouldn't have mattered. Like, no matter what, they were planning to name one and didn't, but like, it should have been Kreider. Number two, I just don't think in any way, shape, or form they'll want to take away from Hanks Knight. I think they wanted to like kind of be all about him until the game. So for that reason, I think they won't do it. If they do it this year and name a captain, I think it would be maybe right before playoffs to like really spark the team and get them hyped. Mm-hmm. But I just think, yeah, I mean, I just think it's got to be Fox at this point. Like, why wait so long?
Really?
I don't know. I just think it's got to be Fox at this point. And I know he's not the locker room presence and vocal guy like Kreider is and Trouba, but he's definitely vocal in other ways. Like, obviously on the ice, he gives it 110%. His IQ is out of this world. I mean, he puts me to awe every single game. I'm like, what more can this guy do? And every single game, he just shows me something new. But again, like you said, he is really young. So it's like, obviously a lot of responsibility. I know McDavid got it really young, but I don't know. I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting, and I'm cool with either of them. I think both of them would be awesome. I mean, I guess you got to look at the fact also, like, does Fox even want it? Because that's something as well that you got to look at. I feel like Kreider's shown he wants it. Same with Trouba and a few others. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, and I'll definitely give you on Twitter and Instagram some props if that does happen, because you're the only person I know who has said this. So.
Well, honestly, I gotta say though, I do disagree with the Fox take there. I gotta say, I've known him for a long time, and he's never really worn a C before. So that's the reason why I don't know if he's not necessarily up to the challenge, but it's something that he's never really taken on. He's always like worn an A on the teams he's been on. And then again, like, when I think of a captain, you know, the person I kind of think of isn't necessarily always the best player, but it's the person who, you know, is going to drop the gloves like right off the bat if someone goes after a teammate, which Adam, you know, as much as Adam is going to stand up for a teammate, he's not really the quickest to lose his gloves, you know? So just as far as like that goes, I feel like Kreider, I think he went after Subban when Subban slew foot Ryan Reeves, but I know Subban didn't fight. But Kreider is one of those guys who will sacrifice his body like night in, night out. And Foxy does do a great job like blocking shots and everything. You know, as far as just like chippiness and hard on your sleeve, I think Kreider's the guy. I don't see anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I the only other guy I would allude to is Trouba. I think it was actually Trouba who also fought the Devils, and I think he rang the bell a couple times in a row, like maybe three or four games in a row there, and had some really big fights. But he's always there to answer the bell and fight. I mean, Kreider is too, but not as much. But I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting from the standpoint of tenured. It should be Kreider. I mean, he's the one guy from the OGs. He played with, you know, he's one of the only guys who played with Hank on the team. And And he's been here for a really long time, and I think he definitely deserves it. He's done everything he can to show he's a leader and really gets the guys going in certain aspects. And so that's definitely one thing. But then there's also Trouba. Like the other night, I think against the Yotes, we were getting crushed in that first period. We were outscored 16-4 and went down in the first 3-1. And then Trouba sparked that like unreal fight during their power play. And then we obviously had the shorthanded goal. I think that was by Kreider. Yeah, I think that was Kreider. By Kreider, the shorthanded goal. Yeah, exactly. So again, it's like both of them. I mean, I do agree though. Yeah, Kreider sounds like the play. He does, but I'll stick with my take of Foxy for now.
Kreider actually never had a shorthanded goal in his career, and he has two in like last four games.
I know. I remember. I remember when he got the first one, and they said that's insane. It's like the same thing when he at the beginning of the season he never took a penalty shot in his life, and then he took a penalty shot. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, everything's going his way this year, and it'll be cool to see him in Vegas in like 2 weeks. That's a, that's something too I wanted to bring up also. The Vegas and All-Star break and Olympic break, I don't know if that's good for the Rangers right now. They got a lot of momentum going, and I don't know if a 2-3 week break is going to be good for this team.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, you could look at a lot of teams. I know some teams have had a significant amount more cancellations than others, right? So you have like the Senators, for example, and I think the Bruins as well. They're going to be playing like 6-7 games over that break. So there's not going to be really much of a leeway, but we do have that 2 week break, and it'll be tough, but again, you got to find a way to be resilient and keep yourself busy and just think that there's a lot of other teams that are going to kind of be on this break as well and take some time with your family and if that's what they're allowed to do and just get right back to it on that. I think we play the 15th. So, yeah. And other than that, I wanted to also bring up the boy Igor again. He stole another win against Toronto. I think that was his fifth stolen win of the year, which is insane. I think he's first by a decent amount in amount of stolen goals like this year. And in addition to that, I mean, the guy's 9-0 in his last 9 home games.
Yeah. He's been money at home. And I, just for the listeners, what classifies a stolen win and stolen save?
Yeah. So I think, I follow Steve Valiquette, and I see he always posts his analytics after the game from, I guess the analytics company that he works with. And it's pretty cool. Actually, you should definitely check it out on his Twitter, everyone listening. And the stolen win essentially classifies by like high danger shots. There's high danger shots, mid danger shots, and low danger shots. And, you know, high danger shots that should be going in the net and should be a goal. For example, in the Toronto game, I think they were expected 4.56 goals and we were around 3.7, something like that. So essentially they should have beat us either 4-3 or 5-4 or something along those lines. But when they're, you know, expected goals is higher than ours. And obviously Igor only let in 3 goals in the game and we won 6-3. The guy straight up stole the win. So he's done that multiple times this season and he's just showing even it's back to last week. I mean, it's just mind boggling. This guy's not an all-star to me. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. I just looked at Money Puck and it says the expected goals were 4.1 to 3.13 for Toronto. So
it's crazy. And then, yeah, sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was saying once we went down 3-1 though, I knew like Toronto was going to collapse. I mean, we had 2-3-1 comebacks this week. That's pretty, you know, it's pretty damn good.
I know. I saw your tweet. You knew it was going to happen. I knew it was
going to happen. Story wrote itself.
Yeah. And did you see Tenorti got put on waivers today?
I did see that. Well, everyone thinks that's just going to clear up room for Jacob Chychrun, right? That's the rumor going around?
Yeah, that's the rumor going around. I mean, for Tenorti, see you, bud. But, you know, he didn't really do much for us. He played in a couple games. I think he maybe played 6 or 7 games. And obviously it was a liability, so we had to find a way to get rid of him. I don't think it saves us any cap putting him on waivers because nobody's going to claim him, obviously. But at the same time, it clears up a space. It shows we're about to make a move. Yesterday during the game, I think Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman said something about there's a Chychrun rumor going around that we made an offer and it includes Vitali Kravtsov as like one of the head centerpieces of the offer. You know, Chychrun is a great player for sure. He's obviously not having a great season, but again, the Yotes aren't a good team, so it's what you expect. But what I want to see is like, why are we essentially making a move right now for a defenseman when I think we should be going for a winger right now or a center because we're having all these forward issues and these depth issues. And don't get me wrong, Chychrun would be awesome on this team. And then you have to kind of think if you can re-sign Miller, and there's a whole bunch of things to think about down the line. And also, like, what would this return be for Chychrun, right? So you got to assume it's at least a first. If they're including Kravtsov, okay. You got to include a third piece. That's probably one of our D-men. I would have to assume it's either Jones or Lundqvist, because Chychrun's $4.6 million this year. And then he's also on term for three more years after this. So you're getting a really, really nice piece for term there. And it's not a rental. So it's going to cost a monstrous haul. And then on top of all those pieces, like, there's probably 10 other teams that want him. So you're going to have to sweeten the pot as well, because this guy doesn't have a no move clause or anything like that. So they could send him wherever they want. So, like, it's really in their hands. So I'm curious to kind of see what we do there. And if we are making the play for Chychrun, I wonder, like, why now and not the deadline, as opposed to kind of going for a forward right now, because that's what we need. I mean, you saw Hedo got hurt. Kako didn't play yesterday. And, you know, Kako, Laf, Hedo, none of those guys have really lived up to where they should be in terms of the right wing. So, yeah, what do you think on Chychrun?
One thing that Chychrun does add, too, though, is he is Jewish. So that'd be two Jewish players in the New York Rangers, which would be cool.
is he? Is he? I had no idea. That's awesome.
I think his mom's Jewish. Obviously, Chychrun doesn't really come off as a Jewish last name. But, you know, he's a young guy, a good player, a strong player, strong skater. I mean, I don't know if you've seen a picture of that guy with his shirt off. He's pretty ripped. But I think he just adds more depth defensively. I know we do have a lot of young defensemen, so I do agree with your point. Like, not necessarily a guy we need. But then again, he's young, he's reliable, he's not in his prime yet, and he hasn't really had a chance to be on a good team to really prove what he can do on a good team. So definitely interesting to see what he can do if he's put on a Stanley Cup contender, which I think we can consider the Rangers as a contender, right? I know we want to talk about that a little bit too.
Okay, all right, we're getting into that. So basically what I want to talk about is, you know, do we think the Rangers are contenders is a huge, huge topic of discussion right now. And, you know, like we play these bad teams and we beat up on them, as we talked about last week, and then we're playing some good teams and we're beating them as well. But then you have essentially a top two team in the league right now. I mean, to me, I think Carolina and probably the Avalanche are the two best teams. You know, Tampa, once they get Kucherov back and so on, obviously they're there as well. But right now, those are the two teams I'm looking at that are really like the perennial contenders that are elite of the elite. And it comes down to the fact of, like, can we contend with them right now? Probably not. I mean, we've gotten crushed by both of them, by the Avs twice. But at the same time, I mean, you get a Chychrun, you get, you know, a couple forwards, and it kind of changes the dynamic and the landscape of things. So I'm really curious to see kind of what Drury does here, because it's all in his hands. We haven't seen too much from him yet. He's, I think Elliot Friedman said he's a stealth guy, and he really seems to be doing that and going undercover. So I'm excited to see what happens. And we have so much cap. I think we actually have maybe like 15 million right now. And I think at the deadline, we actually have over $30 million, which is insane. So it's like a one-time thing. Our windows right now, you got to spend on these guys. And yeah, I mean, I think in some form, we're a contender. We're definitely a playoff contender for sure. I mean, I think we'll get there. No problem at this point. Knock on some wood there, but I said this to you a few weeks ago. We're only going to go as far as, you know, we need Laffy and we need Kako, and we need those two guys to really develop into the caliber players we drafted them as. I don't think both of them will do that at this point, but I think it's, you know, they're very young still. I know fans are starting to freak out a little bit, rightfully so, because they haven't really done too much in the few years they've been playing on our team. But again, like, you need to realize you got to have some patience with these kids. They're both under 21. So that's insane. Like, think about what you were doing when you were 21, probably not playing for the New York Rangers. You know what I mean? It's like, we gotta be patient with these guys and really hope that one of them becomes that close to all-star type player. Like, my hope, I always looked at Kako as hoping he would turn into a Kreider. That's kind of what I hoped. Like, a big body, uses the forecheck, and is a goal scorer. And I think if one of them can kind of pan out to where we'd like them to be and get there in that top six, then they can really help elevate us to a contender. What do you think in that regard?
Well, to your point, I think the NHL prime, like the prime age for an NHL player, is like 26 to 28 years old. So these guys are still so young. Like, that's when you become a man in the NHL. Like, you know, obviously there's people that are exceptional, like Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Crosby, Ovechkin, all those guys. But dude, we're seeing Ovechkin put up 29 goals right now in, you know, 30 something games, and he's 36 years old. So, you know, obviously he came in right away and he was, you know, pretty dynamic and was able to dominate. But for most people, it takes time. Like, you know, Jack Hughes is an all-star this year, but is he by any means like tearing it up? He's having a good year, but he's not, you know, doing what a typical number one overall like Matthews or McDavid would do. You know,
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people got used to seeing from a few years back, Matthews, Eichel, McDavid all staggered on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And it's so rare for a number one or a number two pick to immediately light up the league. Like, more often than not, you don't see that. So the fact that we just got three in a row there, it really changed things. And now people are expecting, you know, every first round pick to be an absolute monster when he starts the league. But you know, you see, like, even Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, he's been in the league quite a few years now, and he's been kind of like inching up towards being a really, really good player. But he's not that superstar that everybody said he was going to be, a generational defenseman. And it's kind of like the same thing with Laffy. You just need to be patient. And I think if one of them can get us there and really get to that very, very good NHL type player, I think they'd be able to kind of get us over the hump into turning into a contender, in addition to any other kind of, you know, deadline moves we make and so on.
Mm-hmm. And back to your point about being a contender, the Rangers right now are the only team in the NHL that have four guys in the top 20 in scoring. I mean, we got Foxy, who has 45 points in 42 games. He's got 7 goals, 38 assists. He's 10th on the points leading board. Then Panarin's 14th with 11 goals, 32 assists, 43 points in 37 games. And then Kreider and Zibanejad are 19-20. Kreider, obviously, 42 points, 42 games, 29 goals, 13 assists. And then Mika has 15 goals, 27 assists for 42 points in 42 games. I mean, our big guns are getting it done, and that's what you need come playoff time. Like, you know, I know a lot of people are kind of shitting on the Oilers right now, but Dreisaitl and McDavid need to get it done when the time comes. They're getting it done right now, but you know, you need your big guns to play well in the playoffs, and you know, McDavid and Dreisaitl have done so, but the rest of the team hasn't been able to pick it up. But right now, the Rangers have shown that they're a good team, simply also by this stat too that I wanted to bring up. They're 12-0-1 when tied after two periods. So any third period they're going into, it's a close game or tie game, they're finding a way to win almost every time. Like, that's pretty insane, and that's really, you know, that's the telling factor in the playoffs, is good teams find a way to win, whether they get outplayed or not. So that stat to me is what stands out. Like, literally only having one loss after being tied after two periods, and that loss came in overtime or a shootout. I'm not sure which game it was exactly, but that is crazy.
Was that, maybe that was the McDavid game?
Maybe.
Is that the game we lost in OT against them? Maybe, but yeah. Anyways, I mean, that's a crazy stat, and yeah, it's just showing what a resilient bunch this team is, and like, they'll ultimately do anything to get that win. And that's what good teams do, and that's what contenders do also. So that's a huge, huge factor going for them. The four players in the top 20 is just freaking insane, especially since outside of Strom, like, those are the only five guys putting up points for us, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Trouba and you got Gaudreau, who are like, you know, they're producing, but those five for us are really like handling the bulk. Mm-hmm. So if you can, you know, that's five out of six on our top two lines. So if you can get that one other player, like, you get a Thomas Hertl or you get someone else like of that caliber, I mean, it's going to take this team so far. And I remember Drury said he was kind of trying to mimic that Tampa Bay contender where they had their top two lines were super skillful and then the bottom two lines were like really gritty. And he's definitely emulated that so far. And I think it's really showing a long way and going a long way, as you can see with that 12-0-1 after two. So that's exciting. And also I wanted to ask you, what's your thoughts on a JT Miller reunion on Broadway? I saw Frank Cervelli said something about it.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what we give up for him, I mean, he's been great this year. He's in the top leading scorers too, I believe. No, I'm
gonna look for him. Yeah, he's a point per game player. He's having an unreal season. I think we can get him we get him this year, and I think he's not a rental either. So we'll have him next year as well. Mm-hmm. For it's not crazy, but I think it's around 5.25. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to move someone. We'd probably have to move Hedl. I think at this point it's pretty realistic to say Hedl's probably gone anyways. Yeah. I think he's showing he has a little value as of late, and you know, he's a former first round pick, and I think teams will definitely take a chance on the kid because he's extremely young still, and can develop into a very good player. So I think that's something that we can kind of explore there. And you're right. I mean, it really matters. Like, are they going to have to give up a first, or are they going to have to give up a second and then probably Hedl and then probably one more piece? What I would look at is like, can they throw Nemeth in there and like sweeten the pot? Because no matter what they do, they need to find a way to kind of get Nemeth out of their lineup. Hunt needs to get down to the fourth line. And they got to find a way to get Greg McKegg out of this lineup. Yeah. I know he scored the other day. My buddy Max hates Greg McKegg. I tend to think it's just because of his name. but yeah, I mean, so when they can kind of supplement these players who are essentially borderline AHL players or low caliber NHL players for some good talentful players, I mean, it's going to go a long way. And you know, as you said, I mean, we'll get to that contender status, and I'm pretty confident in that. So,
yeah, JT Miller has 12 goals, 27 assists, 39 points, 39 games, and he's plus one. So he's having a good year on a Vancouver team that has been like a little hot and cold. You know, definitely very streaky, and obviously have been much better since Boudreaux took over. But I just remember this too, since you were talking about McKegg and all those guys being AHL players pretty much. But the first time that we played Colorado, we actually like played with them pretty well until, you know, late in the second period, and Adam Huska was in net that night. It was his first NHL start, and he was pretty much an AHL goalie. So I don't remember the second game in Colorado. I think it was pretty ugly too. I think was it like 5? No. So we lost the first time 7-3, and then we lost 4-2 in Colorado.
Okay. So 7-3 is what I was at, and that was really rough to watch. Yeah. So that's the game I was at.
And Georgiev started the second game too. So Igor hasn't even played them this year.
Oh, okay. All right. So that makes me feel a little better for sure. I mean, you know, Igor, as we know, the guy's the king of stolen wins. So he might've stole one against them too. And it's just the thing about Colorado is they're such a fast team.
Yeah, they're so fast.
You see them kind of skate with us. And it's like, I think the Rangers are a pretty fast team and they just absolutely skated all over us. Mm-hmm. And I kind of saw that with Vegas as well. Right. So like Vegas was also a fast team, and we need to find a way to slow down those teams. And we didn't really, I actually did want to get into kind of some of our weaknesses here, because we didn't really touch on it too much last week, but like our three biggest weaknesses are really, you know, 5v5 obviously is a glaring issue. And then those neutral zone and turnovers and the high danger chances are obviously a huge issue. And then the other one, which I'm starting to think might be our biggest issue, is we need to find a way, especially come playoffs, we have to find a way to play 60 full minutes. We can't play 30 minutes a night and expect to beat good teams like we did against the Coyotes, right? Like, we need to play a full 60-minute game of hustle and bustle. And I know against the Yotes, they had like a crazy thing happen with their plane in Carolina, and they got in at like 4 a.m. or something like that. But you know, we've seen it other games. So it's like, that's kind of what I would love to see them improve on those three things. And I think it could be dangerous come playoffs.
Yeah, I think the most complete game we've seen the Rangers play this year was that 4-0 win against Tampa at home, like the day after New Year's. That was a pretty, I think they went up 3-0 in the first period, just dominated pretty much the entire 60 minutes. And then Igor obviously stood on his head and had 38 save shutout. Like, I mean, I don't know if they definitely dominated the whole game, but just a good performance from the offense and obviously Igor and net.
Yeah. That game, the Boston game, was also an awesome one.
Boston game was a good one.
Yeah. And I mean, you can even allude to the Leafs game the other night. Outside of those 5 minutes, I think they played like 50 minutes of really solid hockey. So I would love to see that from them. And, you know, if you're not playing good hockey those first 10 minutes or whatever, like, just don't do stupid neutral zone turnovers and all of that. And you can kind of limit those mistakes and limit the high danger chances. And this team can really get rolling. And it's funny, like, hearing us complain about them and they're 27-11, but come playoffs, it's like, you got to be prepared for this, because obviously we don't want what happened a few years ago with Carolina, where they just swept us in that play-in round. Like, you got to be, they're going to come prepared for war. So, you know, we need to as well. And I'm excited to kind of see what Gallant and Drury do at this deadline and see how they can implement these guys into our lineup.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And one more thing I want to hit on before we wrap up here. I know we're going on a little bit, but Henrik Lundqvist night is Friday. Very excited, obviously, for both of us. Do you think he's going to cry? And what are you looking forward to most about the night?
Yeah, so I'm super, super excited for the guy. You know, he deserves the world. He gave literally gave his heart for this team. Mm-hmm. Like, he what a guy. I'm very, very excited to see it in person. I can't wait. I might cry, let alone him.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think he will. I'm also excited to kind of see what other greats will be there. I feel like they're gonna show up in class for sure. And just a quick like stat drop from our boy Hank. I mean, guy's all time win leader for the Rangers at 459. I believe he has 64 shutouts, which is also all time for us. He's sixth on the overall wins ranking and leaderboard, which is crazy. And the only guy who has more wins than him with a better save percentage than Lundqvist was Roberto Luongo. I think Hank's was like a 918 or something like that. And Luongo's was a 919. So the guy just has unreal accolades. I mean, he won the Vezina in 2012 or 2013, one of those. And, you know, he was an unreal player to watch. I mean, it was such a treat to watch him every single night. And I mean, on top of that, I wish not even for the city. I just wish we could have gave the guy a cup, like literally fuck the Kings. I hate them still to this day, but yeah, I'm so excited for him. I'm happy for his family, and I think it's going to be an awesome night. What about yourself?
Yeah. Also 6-2 all time in game sevens. I mean, he was unreal every single series we went into, and there was a game seven. We kind of knew the Rangers would come out with it for the most part, at least, but you know, I'm super excited just to hear him speak. He's a really good speaker and obviously just like the coolest guy. I think he will shed some tears. I hope he does. I think it'll make it a little more special, but you know, he knows how much he meant to this city, I think, which makes it, you know, even that more emotional. And you know, I'm sure the Stanley Cup thing will come up, but, you know, I can't think of a hockey player that made a bigger difference on the city in our lifetime, even athlete maybe, than Hank. I mean, I still argue to this day that Henrik is probably the best athlete to never win a championship.
Yeah, definitely up there for sure. Yeah. Like, no question about it. And, you know, on top of that, this guy's for sure a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, it's not even going to be debated. And yeah, I'm just super pumped. It's awesome that it's happening right after you retire. That like immediately they're doing it. Cause obviously you saw with O'Ree, they, you know, it took a long time for Boston and so on. So it's really cool to see it, like watch him play his whole career and then immediately see him go into the rafters. So I'm so pumped for it. And, you know, it should be an awesome night. And I hope you end up going too, so we can hang out.
Gonna get a beer and a prime rib sandwich.
Yeah.
Nothing better. Yeah. Nothing better. But as far as the rest of the week goes, the Rangers do play at home tonight against the LA Kings. I'm saying tonight because you're listening to this on Monday. That's a 7 p.m. puck drop. Then they're in Columbus on Thursday, 7 p.m. puck drop as well. I'm sure we'll see Georgiev get the start in that game because they play a back-to-back at home Friday against the Wild. I'm sure they're going to want to put Shesterkin in for Hank Knight. I can't imagine Gallant going with Georgiev on Friday night.
No but shot.
That, but then again, who knows, man? I really have no idea. So
yeah.
I imagine we'll see Georgiev Thursday night. And then Sunday, there's a matinee at the Garden, 1 o'clock puck drop against Seattle Kraken. The Kraken have been pretty shit this year, so I think they'll be able to pull the win out on Sunday. But, you know,
the first game we played them, they held their own against us. Yeah. I was getting nervous that first game. I think we won like 4-2 or something like that. But the whole game, I think they had more shots than us and everything. So I wouldn't say it's a shoe-in, but, you know, obviously they've gotten worse over time.
Yeah, Foxy and Panarin combined for that really nice goal to take the 2-1 lead in the third period. I remember that was a nice little drag by Foxy and went top shelf.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I've got for this week. You got any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, not really. I mean, I'm just, you know, if everybody can tune in on Friday and watch that Hank game, you definitely should. I think it's going to be an awesome moment and, you know, one you'll remember forever for sure.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to this week, 4 games. We'll be back next Monday. Thank you guys for listening, as always, and let's go Rangers.